Cairo. Feast. Take a bite out of Dr. Jeff's wisdom so you can pay it forward.
Come and get it. Cairo Feast is online and we are ready to serve. Today we're serving up a little snack, kind of just a morsel because we're not going to be on this episode long, but I think it's a topic that's worthy of conversation. It's a worthy one of just a few minutes of your time to think, to reminisce, to kind of look back at your own life a little bit, maybe examine yourself a little bit right now, where you're at, where you want to be. And it's a story that I heard just recently from the mouth of John Maxwell. Now, John Maxwell, for those of you that don't know who John Maxwell is, walk into a Barnes & Noble. He's the author of over 100 books. Think of that. Who does that? 100 books. And this man is, somebody that I look up to, a Christian man, a pastor, and basically the man that has taken over. It's this generation's Dale Carnegie is who John Maxwell is. And John tells a story of being at a conference, 4,000 or 5,000 people at this conference, and he was one of the keynote speakers. And there was a break at one point, and he was out at his table, his booth, and was selling books and signing books for people. And somebody obviously very inspired, very excited, came up to him and said, Mr. Maxwell, you know, this young person, gleaming eyes, looks up at him and says, Mr. Maxwell, I figured it out during your talk. I was so inspired. Thank you so much. I figured out what I want to do with my life. And what I want to do is I want to do what you do. And he looked down at the young man and he said, but are you willing to do what I did? And he goes on to tell about this story because it's very important to ask yourself, are you willing to do the did? And that's what most people don't see. When you see a John Maxwell on a stage speaking and inspiring and bringing a message that has impact, it can be so enticing to want to be able to do that. Because it's truly when you feel that. And here's where this young man, hope this young man took his words to heart because, as a speaker myself, you want people to be inspired and you want them to then turn around and be able to do the same, but you've got to live it first. You can't start there. And he goes on to tell the story, are you willing to do? And then he listed about 47 ups, downs, backwards, sideways experiences throughout business, throughout life, throughout all the challenges of the times to get where he got to then be able to deliver that message of impact. A lifetime of the grind. And it's an important thing. In the chiropractic profession, which is where I am most of the time, to ask a young person who is maybe an intern in your office, are you willing to do the grind? Are you willing to do the did? You can't just poof, all of a sudden have an 8,000 square foot office. Poof, have 500, 600, 700, 800 people per week coming in for an adjustment. You can't poof have 60 new patients a week walking in the door. You can't poof have all of that. It comes from decades of hard work and decades of pushing and sacrifice. And there's always some bleeding that comes along the way. And so, listeners, I want you to examine yourself right now. Where are you on that journey? Where are you in the bleeding journey? Because nobody gets handed the end without going through the bleeding. it just doesn't happen. And it's those people that can bleed and put a little spit on it, throw a little dirt on it, and get up and keep going. Because it's worth it. The vision and the purpose is worth it. So I ask you, listener, what are you willing to sacrifice? Let me give you a few examples. And I'm just going to grab some random ones. But just recently, I watched one of my young doctors, actually my youngest doctor, process a couple of new patients that had just gotten in a car accident. And we stuck him on the end of the shift at the end of a very busy Monday night. And about 9:45 at night, he texts me and says, I got them all processed, the two patients, all the x-rays taken, and got them on board and got them adjusted and taken care of. And they walked away happy and inspired people. And you know, here's a young man that was working since 8 in the morning and walked out of the office at 9:45 at night. Dirty, dusty, sweaty, smelly. Probably got home and his wife was like, just go straight to the shower because you stink. And, you know, people often ask me, you know, man, you got to be tired at the end of the day. I mean, that's physical, doing all those adjustments, pushing on everybody. And, you know, I use manual technique. And so I'm using my hands and my body and doing all that. And I look at him and I go, no, actually, a lot of times I get home at night and that's when I get my workout in, because my brain is going and I need to calm my brain down. And I look at him and I say, actually, the physical part is nothing in comparison to the mental part. I am absolutely exhausted mentally from pouring into people, all the conversations that we have and all the education that goes on. You should be absolutely exhausted at the end of the day mentally, but be able to pump iron at the end of the day, because it's that push and it's that grind that's inspiring. And man, by the end of the day, I'm ready to run through a wall, because I'm excited for the impact that was brought to the floor that day. So I was proud of that young doctor for pushing that hard, 13, 14 hour day, and finished it by inspiring a couple young people. Let me tell you another one. Here's a blast from the past. So I had a gal just this last week. She, probably about 40, 45 years old, a wealthy gal, always very well put together. Hair is perfectly in place. Makeup is perfect. Everything is like perfect, right? And she comes in and she looks her normal kind of perfect self. And she says, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, sorry about what? And this was like 10 o'clock in the morning on like a Wednesday or something like that. I said, sorry for what? And she's like, well, I came straight from the gym, and so I'm sweaty and I'm gross. And honestly looking at her, like she could have literally walked from my office out to a steakhouse on a date night with her husband, who I also take care of, and she probably could have pulled it off because she looked, you know, just perfect, right? And I'm like, "Oh, honey, you don't know what a sweaty mess is. Let me tell you a story." And, you know, I got to be honest with you, sometimes it's these stories that will endear you to patients, because they want the relationship. They need to hear about the grind that you've been through. And I told her the story of about 20 years ago. We had a booth for probably 15 years in a row, and haven't been there in a number of years now, but about 15 years in a row, we had a booth at the Dakota County Fair. Now, the Dakota County Fair is the second largest fair, summer fair, in the state of Minnesota, next to the state fair. Now, the state fair is enormous. I mean, gargantuan, millions of people that go there, right? Dakota County Fair was a big one. And we had a booth there for about 15 years, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, Farmington, Minnesota. And we had a booth in there, and they had a bunch of sheds, okay? I call them sheds because that is exactly what they were. And they had about six of these sheds. They're metal sheds, metal tin sheds that held about 20 booths each. So there's 20 different businesses that had a booth in each of these metal shed buildings. And of course, the Dakota County Fair is held in August. And August in Minnesota, not nice and cool. And I told her, I said, look, we had a booth in there every summer for about 15 years. And outside, it'd be about 85 to 90 degrees. Inside those sheds, those tin sheds, it was literally 105 to 110 degrees, stuffy and hot. We had three fans set up in our booth blowing on us all day long. But of course, the people that we touched were coming from the fairgrounds where they've been walking around in the heat and the sun. They were sweaty, they were dusty, they were dirty, and they smelled like corn dogs. I mean, it was disgusting. You know, and these are wonderful people, but I mean, they're at the fair, they're gross. It's hot. And of course, back at that time, we were doing like 2-minute chair massage. So we were getting people to sit down on the little portable massage chairs, and we're like rubbing their backs, and their clothes were stuck to them, and they're filthy. And our hands would get like full of sweat on these people. And I mean, they weren't meaning it bad. It's just human beings being hot. And we rubbed sweaty backs and necks all day for a week at the Dakota County Fair. And then I looked at this patient. This gal is all perfect and put together, right? Who was complaining about being sweaty. I looked at her and I said, I have many of those people from 20 years ago that are still getting adjusted here today. Every single week, they do not miss their appointment. In fact, I told her specifically, I said, I've got people from Northfield, Minnesota, that they drive 45 minutes every week, every Monday at 6 p.m., they show up at my office, and they have for over 20 years. The whole family comes, and they never miss. And I remember specifically meeting them at the Dakota County Fair. That's the grind, you guys. That's the grind. A few other examples. Every year, my wife is an amazing interior designer. She just knocks it out of the park. And every year, she decorates our office for Christmas. Now, decorating for Christmas in a lot of homes is, we got a couple of plastic totes and a big box full of ornaments. And you throw up a tree and you throw the ornaments on there or string some garland around or whatever, and it's kind of the same. You just pull out the same boxes every year. No, that is not what my wife does. We have a different theme for Christmas every single year and have for over 25 years. It's different every year. It's never been the same. We've reused certain pieces and certain items in different ways, but it's a different theme every year. And every year, me not knowing anything about decorating, I'm there. I'm the yes man. I'm just there to do whatever I'm told. Here, string this up. Okay. Here, take these boxes. Okay. Here, put this tree up. Yep. Whatever I need to do. And it's anywhere from 12 to 17 hours of decorating in our clinic every year in order to get the clinic to embody the spirit of Christmas. And that's why we do it. Because we want our place to be a haven for people during Christmas, something that will inspire them, something that they can look up to, something that they can look forward to and be excited that Christmas is coming. And it's such a short period of time. We put it up on the day after Christmas, we put it up on the day after Thanksgiving. So we have Thanksgiving on Thursday. Our office is closed on Friday, but my wife and I, and yes, my kids who roll their eyes every year about doing this, my kids have helped for decades. And we're all there as a family decorating the clinic for Christmas. And we put in those 12 to 15 hours to get it done. And that's the grind. That's the did. Are you willing to do what I did? Not, are you willing to, do you just want to be who I am? Do you want to do what I do? No, are you willing to do the did? How about when the office needs painting? Are you there with your brush? In the last year, we've repainted our entire office, 8,000 square feet, and we have repainted the entire thing and painting around shelves and, oh my gosh, all the walls. I mean, I've dreams about walls and paint cans. It's crazy. And we took the better part of a month and worked weekends to repaint the office, to bring a new feel to the clinic. And we did that during COVID because we just wanted something inspiring. We just wanted something to push people to say, hey, that's new. What's going on? And to talk about the vision. Are you willing to put in that time? Are you willing to do the grind? Or what I did with Big Fish, when I sat down and spent probably upwards of 500 hours creating systems for how chiropractors can invest in the next generation of chiropractors, and then take an additional 500 hours to actually put those systems into tangible paperwork and resources so that people can actually use it. Are you willing to grind? Are you willing to put in the time? Are you willing to be maybe the visionary and then step forward another step to be the creator, the inventor? Are you willing then to be the logistic person, to put the details together, to communicate on paper so that people can actually understand what it is? You can't just have an idea, but then you have to create. You have to invent. Then you have to be logistic and detailed. You got to be able to communicate. You got to be able to ask for some help on making sure grammar's correct and have people look at things. Does this say what I want it to say? And then can you promote it? Can you get out there and push it? Can you market what you're doing? Can you be the salesperson that sells the benefit or sells the solution to a problem that needs to be solved? Can you push it and can you sell it because it's valuable and it's going to change people's lives? And then can you follow through with this product? Can you follow through with your system? Can you stand behind it? Can you make sure that people are satisfied, that people are content, that they're happy, that they're inspired, that they're taking it and they're paying it forward? Can you follow through at the end? And then to say to yourself, what can we do better? Can you get feedback? And then get to the drawing board and improve upon on it. Improve what you've already done. It's never perfect, you guys. And then can you get another idea to launch an additional benefit? It's one thing to use one person's idea. It's another to take an idea and make it greater. Launch an additional benefit. Launch an additional idea, an additional product, an additional procedure. Share it with the world. Put value to it. But I go back to what that young man with the gleam in his eye said to John Maxwell, and that was, I want to do what you do, but are you willing to do the did? Are you willing to sacrifice? And if so, what is that? Are you willing to go to battle? Are you willing to bleed? Because there will be blood. It will be hard. Where are you today, listener? Where are you in your process? How much have you bled? Do you need to bleed more? I'm with you. I'm with you. And if you need help along the way to spit on your wounds a little bit and say, hey, it's okay, let's keep going, I'm your guy. Let's do this. Come on. We got this. And if there's one thing you can tell your patients every day, because ultimately we're in service, when we're doctors of chiropractic, we're in service for our patients. When you look them in the eye and you say, I got you, you're going to be all right. I got you. Now let's get busy. All right, listener. That's it. I hope you enjoyed this today. I did. I hope you can share this. because there's some people that you know that maybe they are a little bit too entitled. Because you don't get without putting in the sacrifice. So who can you share this with? You know, please get out there and rate the podcast and download the podcast and share it. I would appreciate that. That's a way this kind of a message can get out to people that need to hear it. All right. We will see you next time. As always, stay hungry, my friends, because we're dishing it up every single week. And we'll have more for you next week. And always, always, always remember to pay it forward.
Cairo Feast.